So we haven't used that term specifically yet, but yeah, that's essentially what we are talking about, is that the spirit of the Antichrist, because it's the Antichrist, is the one who essentially sets himself up as though he were Christ, or in some ways speaks with Christ's authority, but he's in reality saying things that go against Christ. So the Antichrist. So, so we get through all of those things we talked about, the mark of the beast in the number 666. And remember, I said the mark of the beast is something that clearly shows the world who are on the side of the beast. So we're going to be bringing to you the specific things in the beast that come to mark of the beast. Oh, yeah, that's the mark of the beast. The key thing that would convey to the world that you are on the side of Satan, that you are one block in lockstep with the world of Satan, that would be the mark of the beast. So if there is something, it would be a little dark clothing, something that has some appearance, you could show that which side you're on, which team you're in. It could be simply things that you say, or the decisions that you make, that could 666 in Nazi superstition that you need to be afraid of. Since being almost 6'7", it's 3 6s. It couldn't be that you're trying to convey Jesus in the present age, you're trying to convey some sort of divinity to the world that raises God's mind. So is that enough for a recap? Let's actually dive into today's text here. We're in chapter 14, and the text is called the Lamb and the 144,000 is the return of the group of 144,000 souls, which is kind of weird originally back in Revelation chapter 6. So they're back. That's all right, first one. And I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000, who had his name and his father's name written on them for him. So, what John's doing is, I'm looking over here, I'm looking over here, and now I'm looking over here. So, I don't know if you can see the picture in the map. That would be north of the Holy Land, okay? And so it would be like northwest of where the Holy Land is. So if John looks out to the west, so this is west, right? So John's looking out to the west, and he sees Rome. And he looks to the east, there's all the churches. And then he looks kind of like southeast. He looks over here, and oh, beautiful Holy Land. Look, the plane is big. Because this is the first time we've heard actually about the Holy Land. But, you know, there are more references to Jerusalem coming up. What makes the Holy Land so special? Meeting churches at Zion, we sing songs about Zion. You know, what's the deal with Zion? What's the point? What makes that Zion so special? Yeah, thank you. Well, we've talked about this before. Okay, yeah, so that's the Temple Mount. Okay, so we all have a physical Holy Land. I have a physical Holy Land. When we talk about going to Jerusalem, in Scripture, no matter what direction you're pointing, you're going up. You're ascending to Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, you can take your things on the map. You're going southeast and west. You're north, you're going up, and you're going south, you're going east. That's not how little Egypt is perceived. They thought about it. You're ascending to Jerusalem. You're ascending to the synagogue. You're ascending to the synagogue. You're ascending to the synagogue. permanent structure that eventually was the tabernacle that moved the body to Moses and the Israelites as they traveled through the wilderness, and then even after they came into the promised land 40 years later, to still have times when that tabernacle would be moved from one town to one city to another. Of course, King David later on fought so desperately. Years go by, and finally Solomon sees his opportunity from the Lord to build a permanent temple. And the temple had gone through multiple changes. There's a temple that was destroyed by the Babylonians, and later rebuilt by the time he did Jesus' day, the specific temple. The temple that was rebuilt, and then King Herod comes in and destroys the temple. And he's sort of bottled all the bottles. Is where this took place, and that's where God's presence was. So, the one where God is, he goes on. And so, in the midst of this conversation about these beasts that are taking place, people are happy to consume the woman and all the offspring, blah, 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 blah. It's really difficult times for God's people. And yet, God looks. Is not abandoned us. What a blessing to think that not only does he see the light, but he sees the light. Which, back in chapter 7, is representative of what we call the church building. These are the souls of the faithful who are alive on the earth today. We make a distinction between the church building and the church. Faithful who have gone to be with the Lord already, those who have died and gone to heaven, their parents can be triumphant. But in chapter 7, we were specifically looking at 144,000 as representative of all the Christians who are alive today. So you and I are part of 144,000. 144,000 comes from the 12 tribes. Number 12. Thank you. you carry that with you, it's pretty cool. So this is one of the best things a lot of revelation that he brings to it. So, yeah, it's a new song. So, verse 3 tells us it's a new song that no one can hear from the except for the it's pretty well documented in scripture. Thank you.